We are in Philippians 4, 18 through 19. I think this is grace supplied number 2. And before we get started, let's take a moment to get in fellowship. And all that means for us is simply to confess our sins, not to me, of course. That's between you and God. And it's private conversation that you have in prayer and confession. And we do that by simply naming them. And all of a sudden, God in His grace forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we're able to grow and mature in the Christian faith. So let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the amazing plan that You have for our lives. We're always amazed to see what You have for us next. We pray that we can continue down this road, continue on the upward path that You have planned for us. And we just ask for clarity tonight, for understanding of Your purpose and plan, specifically that You designed for us. We thank You for all these things, and we ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So Philippians 4:18, and we've been talking a lot about fruit production and the Christian walk, I guess you could call it, and how it is that we can't even produce these kinds of things because of who God is, what He's done, and the power that we can walk within His Holy Spirit. And by this point, and I kind of asked you already, but if I was to ask a person if they can be saved by the fruit they produce, I would hope your answer now would be that only believers in Jesus Christ can produce fruit. And the reason why, you know by now, but we've been teaching on it for a while, an unbeliever can't produce fruit. The only one capable of walking by means of the Spirit are believers in Jesus Christ. And that's not a trick question, but I guess it kind of could be. Only believers can produce these things we've been talking about. So, and as I was thinking about all this, There is a lot of confusion, you know, in our world when it comes to the production of fruit in the believer's life and salvation. They always kind of tend to blend together. And one easy way to think about this, or an easier way to help us understand, kind of separated in our mind, is the first thing is salvation in the Scripture is used in different ways. It's being saved from something, but it can also mean being delivered from things. And Scripture uses it in many different ways. Some of those ways are being delivered from physical things like danger, a storm, maybe a battle, or even enemy. And the same word salvation is used there. And also in the theological use, as in your salvation or deliverance from sin. So when you take all these aspects, okay, we've got to figure out what are we being delivered from. Okay, maybe the context does say sin now. We got that figured out. Now we've got to figure out which tense of salvation are we referring to. It's always referring to three tenses: either the past, the present, or the future. And you, believe it or not, you already know all these things, because I refer to the past as positional, because you were saved. That was something that's already been done and happened, and that's a one-time thing. So the past tense of salvation is you were saved from the penalty of sin. That means you can never face that penalty again. That's past. You've moved past that past tense of salvation. Now, the present tense of being saved or delivered from sin is your walk. That's your spiritual walk. so that's your daily deliverance from the power of sin. So you were saved from the penalty of sin, which Christ took care of on the cross. You're saved from the power of sin in your daily walk. And then what's left? The future. The future tense of deliverance or salvation. We're saved from the presence of sin, which is when we die, go to heaven, and that's your ultimate sanctification. So that's the future. So just easily we could separate those now. We can kind of understand past, present, and future in your specific individual lives. And what we've been talking about this time, at least in this context, is the present. The production of fruit has to do with your Christian walk. So you're consistently delivered from the power of sin through the Holy Spirit. And we just did that by confession. So let me just read, just to kind of get us back in the mix here. And I'll start from verse 17. I think we left off on verse 18. And it says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." Remember, that was Paul referring to the Philippians, the things that they were giving him. He's saying, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I'm seeking the profit which increases to your account." Verse 18, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So there's kind of some icing down there on the cake. That's a good verse. It's kind of one of those promises we tend to claim sometimes. It's a good verse, and that's kind of where we're leading up to. So after Paul, he's referring to everything that they gave him, they provided. He lets them know that he's very thankful. You can hear it. You know, he's telling them what they've done. And then he switches the conversation around and he says, he lets the reader know that he isn't seeking these things. He knows they're great, but he's not seeking those. He wants the Philippians to be the beneficiaries of the things that they are giving. And we know now what that means. That's the production of divine good in their lives. And that comes simply by what we've been studying, is that continual experiential deliverance from the power of sin in your life by staying in a relationship close and tight and staying true to confession by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your life. Because remember, there's two types of power we can be under. Mine, which is not really the one we want to be under, or yours, or the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what Paul's desiring. He's desiring that the Philippians are empowered by the Holy Spirit and producing divine good fruit works in their life. He's not concerned about the gift. And that just meant that he had the word, remember it used the word seek. That meant that he strongly desired that they seek these things. And that just meant that he had a strong desire to see the proper attitude, the soul attitude of grace giving by the Philippians. And I mentioned that before, but that is truly, I think, anyone's desire that is teaching the word, is that we, once you leave here, we leave and we profit. We produce fruit. And that's, I think, one of the major responsibilities of a Christian, right? After we're saved, we do have many, many commands, imperatives in Scripture and God commanding us to walk. Well, that word walk, there's a lot of emphasis on that word because there's a lot of imperatives and commands to walk. And when you hear the word walk in a manner worthy, or we'll go through some of those tonight, but that word walk, that's directly referring to you, to the Christian walk, the Christian life, the Christian production of fruit in your life. That's your Christian walk. So, and if you ever want to separate yourselves, and I think I mentioned this, this is the way we do it right here. If you want to rise to the top as a Christian from the general public, this is how you do it, through Christian production of divine good in your life. That's the fruit production. So it separates you, and we already looked at some of those, how it separates you, and I'm not going to go back through those, but I'll briefly mention them. It separates you by the benefits that it provides in blessings that's in this life and in heaven. It separates you by responsibility, that's God-given responsibility. And there's a distinction that describes reigning with Christ in the millennium, and also awards in heaven. So all these things that I'm mentioning, though, they're always a condition in Scripture. And the condition is based on being faithful, being a faithful believer. And faithful has, I know, has a lot of definitions, but in this specific Bible context that I'm referring to, faithful means paying attention to the details. That's part of my job, is to pay attention to the details in order that we can get it right. I try to get it right if I can. I'm human and I make mistakes. And if I know I make a mistake, I will correct that mistake. But part of that process is going through the details and just giving it to it as I find it, so we can follow it. That's, to me, the faithful part that is part of this separation. It's being faithful to what God wants us to do. And we've got to look through the details. We have to sort these things out and say, okay, if this verse says this and it contradicts this verse, I have to find out why. I've got to figure out why. I can't just say, yeah, yeah, and just kind of brush that aside. And say, yeah, this verse does say this and this does. Well, we've got to figure these things out. So we want to be faithful in those areas. So there's always a condition to be faithful. So, and it makes sense when you think about all these rewards and benefits, because it also includes you. It includes your decision-making process that you go through as a believer. This is a free thing. We can go decide day to day, moment by moment, how are we going to live our Christian life? You have a lot of power, believe it or not, whether you know it or not. You have a decision to make in your life, and that has eternal repercussions, as you well know. And then we got into some very unique words, and there were some things that came out of these words that I just wanted to talk about a little bit more. Remember, Paul mentioned being amply supplied through what the Philippians sent him through Epaphroditus. And he describes their gifts and their supplies as this. He says it was a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. And we related that to, that actually helped us in our communion service, remember? Because that was a direct relationship with a reference to Jesus Christ right there. That was Ephesians 5:2. It said, "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So this verse kind of puts a different angle on what we've been talking about. Remember, we're talking about fruit production, Christian, the walk, the Christian walk. And there's a link here that I wanted to bring out between the Philippians giving, are doing things that are acceptable to God, and Jesus Christ being accepted or acceptable by God. And we need to notice these three things that this verse is saying. The first is love, which is then followed by offering. The offering of Christ himself, and the third is a sacrifice. So notice, just keep in mind the order of those. You've got love, you've got an offering, and you've got a sacrifice, because these three words definitely and fully relate to your life as a believer and mine. No doubt about it. So, because this is important in both the Philippians giving and our giving and Jesus Christ giving of himself. They're all coming from the same love. Remember, we kind of borrow everything from God. And one of those things is love. That's agape love. And part of the motivation in your Christian life, you will find, the more you advance spiritually, the more you grow and get to know your Savior, the more you will come to love Him. And with love comes motivation. Motivation. The best motivation you can have is from love. Because it's not coerced. It's not burdensome on you. It's coming from something that you truly have a desire to do and serve and to follow and even follow the details because of that love. That's a motivation that only God can give us through a scripture. And that applies to all of the other relationships around you, believe it or not. Your motivation that you have in love, personal love for God, bleeds into every other relationship around you. And that's an important thing. So the first word, it makes sense. That's why the first word is love. And it also makes sense why that's an imperative. Because God, in His grace, knows that we need that love before we can get to the true offering. And take that a step further to the sacrifice. Because really those two go together. There's always an offering with a sacrifice when it comes to your spiritual life. So, and that love is progressive. So as we go down this path, the more you will come to love God through knowing Him. So love is the underlying motivation of grace. That's a key point. Because without personal love for God, you can't make an offer in grace. That's part of the motivational aspect of love, personal love for God. It's always done in grace. Because when it's motivated by love, it's from an attitude and a motivation with no strings attached. There's no strings attached except to your Savior. Because He's the one, remember, He loved us first. Even when we are unfaithful, He is still faithful. So there's always that string that's attached to Him, and it bleeds over into your other relationships. And that's powerful. So grace and love are really connected at the hip, and they go hand in hand. Remember, Christ loved us, in this, that's what the verse said, that's past tense. And then came the offering. So the word for offering here, listen to what it means. It's the act of bringing as a voluntary expression. And of course, voluntary is the main focus, right? Voluntary. And all that means is done or undertaken of one's own free will. You are actually deciding to do things in the proper way. And part of that properness includes Christian sacrifice in our lives. It happens. It comes. It will come, and it will become more and more in your life is Christian sacrifice. But it's a good thing. I notice everybody kind of had this somber look when I don't know if the English word sacrifice really fits just right. Because when we hear the word sacrifice, it kind of brings a sense of pain to us. And that's normal. You know, we know about the animal sacrifices. They got killed and they were cut. And even a sacrifice in your life, we think of hardship. We think of things that we're foregoing and we are reaching for something better sometimes. But in this case, the sacrifice is a really, really good thing. And that's part of that I wanted to bring out in this, and we'll see why. Because when we are motivated by love for God, then you are free to make that decision to serve. Remember, it's motivated by love. There's a love here coming behind this. And that decision to serve is motivated by the same thing, love. So, and this brings up kind of a little side point. If if your Christian service and your Christian life is always a strain and it's always kind of a burden on you, we need to stop and go back to start. Because in a sense, this is a relationship. This shouldn't be burdensome. It shouldn't be a lot of work. It shouldn't be, you know, you can't get out of bed in the morning because it's rough to start the day. This is something that God has provided us, and He's provided everything that we need to grow in the relationship. Not only that, but also He gave us solutions to every problem in our life. But we have to learn how to lean on Him throughout the sacrifice and throughout the offering process as we go through this life. Because there's always something to sacrifice. That's why it's a sacrifice. If we weren't giving something up, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. And what we do is we give up ourselves. We give up what I want to do versus what God wants me to do. And that's a sacrifice. That includes not my solution, but going with God's solutions. And that's the sacrifice. That's where the sacrifice comes in, and maybe some pain behind there, but we'll see that it only gets better from that point on. So, this isn't burdensome. Remember, we've been provided these things just to be sacrificed. God provides us always an opportunity to do these things. So we had love first, then we had an offering, which, remember, that's the free, voluntary, whatever decision you make to serve, which leads into the third thing, word was a sacrifice. So we're motivated to serve and offer sacrifices. Of course, this isn't physical sacrifices that the Old Testament refers of. You know that. This is spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices," listen to some of this language, "acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." There's that acceptable piece again. We've kind of heard that throughout kind of this whole lesson of fruit bearing in the Christian life. Remember, it has to be acceptable. That's where all that cleansing aspect came out. So spiritual sacrifices include things like sacrificing our own power, will, and motivation, and exchanging these for God's power, will, and motivation. Okay? There's your spiritual sacrifice. That's what a spiritual sacrifice really is. Because as you all know, there's two directions to go, no matter how advanced you are spiritually. You can either, and the burdensome sin nature of this fallen world can wear you out. It will work you. It will work on you every day. It will work on your patience. It will work on your relationships. It will work on people around you, and it'll start to wear you down. So, but this is where it gets better, because when this wearing down process of the sin nature of the falling of this fallen world starts to affect you, we have to make a decision at that point. Are we going to try to solve the problem on our own? Are we going to make that offering and give that sacrifice to God? Because it can be very stressful when you try to solve things on your own without giving them to the Lord. And you all know that. We've seen that. We deal with those things every day. Even though they're very minor decisions, they're day-to-day decisions, we still have to deal with the sin natures. And when you take those things that the sin nature causes, and they're not good decisions, even around you, sometimes you don't cause them, but they're there. They're coming from both directions, ourselves and the people around us. When we try to take those on ourselves, you're never going to get a sense of fulfillment, and you will never be happy or content in your life. When you're always trying, because you're going against the grain in a sense. You're battling something that you can't fight. You can't solve. It's always there. It's not going away. So this is where the offering comes in. We've got to learn how to offer this to God, because we really have no solutions and no offense to this sin nature outside of God Himself. That's all we have. But it's so, because it's so a part of us and we deal with it every day, we tend to forget that big picture, that we can't deal with it and we'll always have it for the rest of our life. But God gave us everything we need to offer it to Him, to give it to Him. But it all goes back to that thing, the sacrifice. Whose power do you want to handle it in, our own, or give it up to God? So that's the two directions. And notice I mentioned in here, or I think I mentioned, that the sin nature can wear on you. It can also test your limits and your patience. As growing believers that are maturing in the faith, it can test you, it can wear you down. And I mentioned patience because I just want to pick this one word out. Because the word patience means a state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. That's what the word means in general. Okay? So even something as simple as you think patience might be, you can't do it in your own power. You cannot be patient enough in your own power if you don't offer that sacrifice, whatever you're waiting on, and give it to God. You can't do it. It's impossible. You know, I'm speaking to people that have tried this and done it, just like I have tried it and failed. To be patient enough, as we need to be, in whatever situation we need to be patient in. And that's just one little bitty thing. Think about all the other things that God has given us that rise way above what we have to offer. This is just patience. But He gives us that power and the strength, even in patience, to be able to be successful and to wait on His timing. Because remember, we simply just take it and we want to wait, but we do it in our own power. And the wait time isn't as great as it should be, because we're basing it off of my will. I'm basing it off of my desire and what I want. But when I sacrifice it and give it up, all of a sudden you have a new outlook, because it's not your timing. You're trusting, you're waiting, because you've sacrificed it. Now, see how sacrifice really isn't a good word? You've given it up. You have, and that may be hard to do because it requires some faith and growth on your part. But look what you've done, in a sense. That is a good thing. Sacrifice may be hard at the initial part of making the decision to turn it over, but once you get past that point, it's nothing but smooth sailing. See, at that point, you can kick back and watch God work in your life. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to glorify Him, and He wants us to watch Him on our behalf. That's the gracious aspect of God. That's how He works. So, and that's why this is so many things that God gives us. But this patience, and the reason why I mentioned that one is because what about all the fruits of the Spirit? Remember, we have every single one of those things, but they're never enough to fulfill whatever scenario we're in. And that patience is no different. It's included in those. So this is how we endure, and this is how we are steadfast, because of the sacrifice of waiting on the Lord. That's the key. So the sin nature has a tendency to tell you that you have needs that must be met. It does. It'll tell you, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. This isn't enough time. You can't do this. There's not enough room. There's not enough money. There's not enough. You need. That's the sin nature. Nothing but needs, right? That can be stressful. But, And, you know, that's normal for the sin nature. And if that's the normal attitude you always tend to have, always needing something, always tired of waiting on the Lord, then you need to have a change. And that's why I'm offering this to you tonight, because we need to take these things of always needing something and offering those and sacrificing them to the Lord in the spiritual sense. So, and look at the opportunity of this you have in all things. All the things you think you need right now, think about them all. There's a lot. We could probably fill up pages. There's an opportunity to turn that feeling of need into an offering and sacrifice to God. That's a spiritual sacrifice because you're letting Him deal with the problem. You're letting Him deal with the need. Because I've told you, we have no solutions. We don't have solutions. Sometimes we throw our hands up because we keep trying and trying and trying and nothing works. And God, many times He waits on us and He's sitting there, you know, I'm waiting to just give it to Him, offer it to Him. And all of a sudden, voila, He fixes it. But we still have to come to that voluntary part. You can't forget that. You can't leave that out. Because God is a gentleman and He will allow you to ignore Him. And until you decide up on your own to go to the walk to the altar on our own and give it to Him mentally, sacrifice in faith, He'll allow you to do these other things. So we have to come to grips with the fact that we really have no idea how to solve our own problems when it comes to things like relationships. How about marriage? How about those people you work with? Friends, family, maybe someone you just met, or how about your own personal problems? There's a lot involved in that. And guess what? We can't solve any of it. We can't do it. We can't solve it. And we all have, every one of these I named, we all have them in some aspect. Big or small, they're there. So when you come to that understanding, that's when we can begin to get comfortable and watch God. So it makes perfect sense here that we are commanded to walk in love just as Christ also loved you. There's your motivation. That's the motivation to serve. And that will motivate you to give the offering to Him, to sacrifice. Don't juggle it around. It's not worth it. It's hard to take that problem and try to solve it on your own. It's very hard. And we can't do it. Just save the time and apply it. Apply God's word. So, and then through your decision that you are motivated by love and grace, you can look forward to what verse 19 is telling us. It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, this is a good verse. It's just a general good verse to read this and know that it's true if we know what it means. And it just makes so much sense. Now, Paul kinds of shifts. You notice he kind of shifts the conversation here. He's shifting from what they provided and how he feels about that. And now he says that God will supply all of their needs. First he's talking about what they supplied him. Now he's saying God will supply all of your needs. Okay? The word for supply here means to make full or complete, to satisfy. And this is a future tense. Paul says it says God will supply all of your needs. Isn't that funny? So this is a truth and a reality that Paul is assuring the Philippians of. Notice Paul's not a psychic, but he's saying it with assurance. He's saying it with confidence. He's saying God will supply all of your needs. That's the future tense with the indicative mood of reality. That's how real this is. You know, we can have the same attitude as believers in Jesus Christ. We can have the same confidence to know for certain and make statements just like Paul is making here that God will supply all of our needs. That is a fact. That's a fact. If you're on the earth living and growing and loving Jesus Christ, God will supply all of your needs. So, it hasn't even happened yet, but Paul is sure that it will. And that's the confidence that comes from getting to know the person behind the words of Scripture. That's where Paul is, because he knows he has a personal relationship. If I get to know you, I can speak on behalf of you. That's what Paul's doing. He's speaking through the Holy Spirit in a way that is not only glorifying to God, but it's God's words, of course. But do you see how it's almost like a directional thing? He's referring to God. He's saying God will supply all your needs because he knows who he's talking about. He knows him personally. He loves him. And that simply just comes through spiritual growth. Your confidence will grow in who we serve consistently. And you can be sure. He will satisfy all of our needs. So we just saw this word in verse 16, the word for needs. Do you remember it? It's the word that means that which should happen or be supplied because it is needed. So this is referring to like in a business sense. The things that are necessities, legitimate needs, not necessarily the extra that we always tend to throw in there that we think we need. But this is referring to the actual needs. So Paul uses, notice a little bitty adjective that he uses just before the word needs. He says all or every, if you want to translate that like that. Which means the totality with focus on the individual components. So we're talking about needs being met, but look what it's met with. Look what the needs are being met with. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now that doesn't sound like just the bare necessities of what is needed. This is being met with the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So here in the context, Paul's referring to that which is needed and essential. We understand that based on what the word means. But think about it. This is a need being supplied to Paul and then a need being supplied right back to the Philippians. You can see how easy it would be to preach a prosperity gospel here. But you know better than that. Or you should. Giving and receiving are not the focus here. So remember, giving is a sole response to God's love for you. That's the proper attitude. And this had to do with that internal soul response, not on what one has or doesn't have. It seems like every time I say that, everybody goes, whew. Giving is not based on what you have or don't have. It's based on your soul response. We remember that. So because there is no reason to be stressed out about giving, but all that time you're straining to give isn't being done with the right motivation. So according to his riches, listen to the word riches. It means a plentiful supply of something. That's it. Something could be anything, both spiritual and physical. That's how the word applies in Scripture. It relates to both. Riches. Abundance of earthly goods or wealth, or of spiritual wealth. And these are his riches and in glory in Christ Jesus. So it's interesting, and it's not an accident, that the higher level topic we've been covering through this study is glorification of God. Glorification of God. That's kind of the fruit-bearing aspect of the Christian life. We're glorifying God in a sense, right? So, which obviously includes what? Glory. Glory is mentioned here. We're referring to fruit-bearing in our lives. And now the word glory is coming into play. And we think about the process of glorifying God. Remember, doing something in a right way that is acceptable to God. And we know that which is acceptable. We've talked about that. We've studied that. Must first be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And then you are able to be useful to the master and prepared for every good work. Okay? Everybody's like, yeah, we heard that. Stay with me. And we've studied this in detail, but look at what you have available to you. God's glory and riches in Christ. Now, when we think of needs, what's the greatest need of the Christian life? To live in God's power. That is the greatest need that we have. No doubt, in my mind, that is the greatest need, to walk, to serve, to be prepared, to be a vessel of honor, as the scripture referred to, right? So we're talking about a basic need Paul refers to. This is the need, to walk according to the way God designed for the Christian life. If we're not doing that, what else is there? That's the bare necessities of a need. We have to be useful, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, and when we fulfill our need by being obedient to the command of God, listen to some. These are the scriptures that I wanted to bring out and refer to some of these, just to let you hear the commands of the need that we're referring to. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. There's your command. So you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. How about, I don't have them. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:7 through 10. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 2:6 and 7. So walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. Okay, we're keeping going. Walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, that's a command. Colossians 4:5, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. So we have, this is the Christian walk that I've been referring to. That's the need. So commands are given to the Christians because why? We're very capable of doing just the opposite, of not walking in these ways that the scripture is telling us. That's why God gives us commands, right? He wants us to do the proper and the right thing. So I hope you're beginning to think in terms of Christian responsibility. What's funny is Jesus uses this word when he says, pick up your pallet and walk. He uses this word walk as the Christian walk, the responsibility to walk. So we do have a responsibility to walk. Okay? So that's why the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about those that should have been teachers from their spiritual growth, because they had been learning, they'd been applying, and he said, okay, you should be teachers by now, but you're not, because your ears have become dull and you're not walking. Remember, they were on milk and not spiritual food, meat, the thick stuff, like they should have been. So we have to go from taking milk to solid food as spiritual believers if we're going to be spiritual. And this is all referring to glorification, production of fruit in your life. We've got to go from the elementary things and move on to the spiritual sacrifices. We have to. We've got to. We've got to do these things. But solid food is for mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The only way you're going to discern is just this way, through practice. That's it. It's the only way it's going to happen. So, needless to say, we must follow these things. And these are the basic needs of the Christian way of life. So all these commands are pleasing offerings and sacrifices to God that glorify Him. And this is the only thing that gives us access to the riches in His glory. That's it. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we walk in the means that glorifies Him. You have access to the riches. Remember the better things? Whether it be any of the fruits of the Spirit or whatever we have to offer versus what the spiritual things that we have available, those are the riches. Whatever you do in the power of God is the riches. And God has an infinite amount of things that He can do in your life to solve problems. So when we think about a need and fulfilling that need through God Himself, you've accessed the riches of God. So it's interesting that that which is essential in the Christian life is offered. And when we freely choose to accept and make that sacrifice of self, that's when the wealth and abundance flows in your life. Right there. That's why. Because you've freely chosen to accept and make that sacrifice of yourself. So don't be fooled into thinking that sacrifice is a bad thing. Because it's not. It is not. It's a necessity that we've seen to walk in the means that God wants us to walk. But He loves us so much, He's not just commanding us. He's giving us access to the riches that He wants to give us. And consistently give us. As we move forward in the Christian life. And if we do that, this opens the door to a life that is lived in His power. In His power. That's where we all want to be as Christians. We want to live the Christian life accordingly, according to God, not only according to God's word, following His word, that's part of it, but doing it and sacrificing my will, sacrificing what I want and sacrificing anything that I desire that supersedes what God may desire. And the big, broad picture of that is doing it His way and doing it in His power. And then we access what He has available to us. And that's blessings, contentment, joy, everything that we have studied that is great in the Christian life. Will come to fruition in your life. So this is encouraging. So this is really just a discussion about alternatives. We've got alternatives always. Putting our own alternatives aside for the riches and glory in Christ. I mean, just listen to some of these that I referred to earlier. These are the things that we have available. This is just some of the riches. Now, if we could do every one of these in God's power every day, think about how happy you'd be. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. Now, if we could apply that every day to our lives and do it in a way that is acceptable to God, His way, that brings joy. That brings contentment. Because that's the riches. That's what God is doing through you because you've already sacrificed. You've already hung it up and you've given it to Him. So that's what you have access to right there. And I realize that these are riches and that they are superior compared to what we have to offer. That's a given, right? But it's not always easy to do. Satan's job, one of his jobs, is to make your solution look better. What you have available and in your will and your way to do things is better than what God has. That's one of his techniques. And you will juggle it around. You'll keep it with you. You won't offer it as a sacrifice just for that reason, because you're fooled into believing that. Whatever that may be. We all go through our own solutions of how we're going to make things better. We can't do it. We can't do it. That's Satan distracting you from the things in the world, and you've been distracted just so slightly to get you off key to not just lay it on the altar. We've got to lay it up there and walk away and let God have it. That's a sacrifice. That's your own power versus God's power. See how subtle that is? It's very subtle. Very, very subtle. Not always easy. And you have to begin to see all of these are problems and difficulties. Look at everything we have in life. We have to begin to look at these things as opportunities to take part in spiritual sacrifices. That's what they are. That's really what they are. Our problems are opportunities to offer these things up on the altar and sacrifice them. So, let's take the high road and the better alternative, because honestly, these things have eternal effects, and they're glorifying to God. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win. Okay, so no one's going to have any more problems, and we're all good to go, and you can... I think you say, no, that's not true, Pastor. There's always a sin nature to deal with, but the good news is that we know how to do it. That's what God gives us the means and the resources for. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to see how to offer things that we can't handle, things that we try, we think we might have solutions for, but we need to realize and be able to recognize those problems and difficulties and give them to you, because your scripture tells us that if we sacrifice those, if we offer those things, we have your riches in glory available to us through Christ Jesus. And we've made that entrance. We are believers because of what you did in Christ. You sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die. And because of that, you made it freely available to us in grace. Your scripture tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's no maybe. There's no but. Well, you have to do something else. It says will be saved. And so we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this lesson. And we ask that all of us, every single one here, that we can continue on and glorify you and produce fruit and have an access to your riches every day. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.